Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Fantasy Fiction Podcast. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we're talking about shamans and
executions.
That's bodies being chopped up.
Executed.
I guess that's not execution, that's more of a mutilation.
Well, I mean, if you die by chopped upness, that's an execution, I think.
Okay. The first one is an execution. The first one that kills you is an execution. That's the rest of it is mutilation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to the semantics cast.
But Josh, before we get into anything, I want to know, how was your week? What'd you do?
Well, we had a week off. I went on a trip. I went to Connecticut. Lovely Connecticut.
That's great. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was really fun. I had a great time. I got to drive through the mountains of New York State, which was pretty.
That sounds really rad. I wish I was doing that.
I drove across the George Washington Bridge.
Oh, a little bit of history buff.
And I was like, what? I mean, I don't think I want to drive through New York City ever again.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time in Connecticut, man.
Yeah, I went through New Jersey, too, and that was the worst part. You hear me, New Jersey?
I don't like you.
I'm done with you. What did you do this week, Dom?
Well, as you know, we had a week off, and I spent all of it watching Night Gallery.
Dude, you keep talking about Night Gallery, and you're making me want to watch it.
Dude, do yourself the favor and watch an episode. Right. I know I'm going to bring one up on Syndication Station, which is our other show, if you're unfamiliar. That's where we...
Syndication Station.
Fridays at whenever you want to listen to it.
Eastern Standard Time.
But this is sidebar. We're going sidebar here. Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
Josh, I want you to watch an episode. I forget which one it is. I should have looked it up. But it's in the first season, and it's three stories. It's Pamela's voice, the lone survivor, and the doll. Pamela's voice and the doll are really fun stories. Maybe you've seen it before, but the lone survivor, dude, I loved that one. It's about 10 or 15 minutes long.
What's the show? I've never heard of this show, to be honest.
Oh, okay. So it's hosted by Rod Serling, and he's in a gallery, believe it or not, at night. And there's all these like suspended paintings on wires, and he intros the show. You've seen the Treehouse of Horror with the school bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that episode parodies Night Gallery.
All right.
So he introduces a story through a painting, and then we zoom into the painting, and then we go to the story.
How do they show a painting on television?
Well, it really hurts the artist's wrist. That's a Simpsons joke, speaking of the Simpsons. Yeah, so it's like a Twilight Zone. I think it's a little bit more gruesome and spookier than the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So I really dig it. But check out that episode. And hey, everybody, it's free on Hulu, so go check it out.
Everyone can watch the Hulu.
And if you like that, check out Syndication Station.
That's Syndication Station every Friday at whenever the fuck you want.
Only on FX. Eat power bars. Drink a Red Bull. FX. Tonight.
Can you say FX like that again?
FX!
Why aren't you the FX, like, announcer guy? Oh, my God. That was perfect.
I don't know, man. I tried. They won't let me.
They didn't want you. You were too good. They were like, that's too good.
No, this guy's too good. Get out of here, guy. Let's get into some fantasy, homie.
All right, let's do it.
Do it! It's been a week. I've been hurting for some fantasy.
Well, I hope that I satiate your loins.
My lust.
Your lust for fantasy with my story, which is called City of Brotherly Death.
No! Oh my God, no.
Yeah, I know. It was a cold and rainy night in the city of Grawl, and boy, was that place still shitty as fuck. Down a dark alley was the worst meat hall in all of Darinos, Purple McNurples. A place so notoriously rowdy that the bouncers all had licenses to crush their enemies before them and hear the lamentation of the women.
Oh, shit.
Inside the hall sat Darinos' most uneligible bachelor and all-around good guy, unless you're a wizard proficient in sucking, Sid the Rogue.
Oh, my man!
He's back. Sid sat at the bar concentrating on his favorite drink, 400% grain alcohol, a.k.a. Forever and Everclear. In the background, at least 7 different fracases were jumping the fuck off.
What's a fracas?
Like a fisticuffs. Like a
oh, okay.
Like
all
a
right.
Shit going down.
Yeah.
Time.
Okay, I'm into this.
Suddenly, Sid felt a tap on his shoulder. He turned around slowly, still sober as fuck, even after 37 shots. There stood an 8-foot-tall, gray-skinned mountain orc. You, Sid? The orc asked in a gravelly voice. Yeah. Who wants to know? Because my mom always said not to talk to strangers unless I was going to shank them in the fucking throat and piss down their neck hole. She always knew just what to say.
So, Sid's mom is pretty cool, and maybe I want to hear a story about her sometime.
Mama Sid?
Mama Sid says.
Mama Sid says.
Piss down people's throats.
Neck holes. Ugh. Ugh.
I hear you're a married man now, Sid the pussy-ass bitch.
Damn!
Sid squinted his eyes and clenched his teeth.
And I hear your wife is pretty ding-dang comely. I wouldn't mind giving her a ride on the C train. And by that, I mean I want to fuck her.
Oh my God, this dude is going hard to the paint right now.
You heard that, huh? Sid replied. Well, I hear your life is pretty comely. And I wouldn't mind giving it a ride on the death train. And by that, I mean I want to fuck it until it's dead. Yeah, still got it.
Just then, Sid did the most majestic crane kick he could, landing his size 13 foot right in the orc's face. Teeth and spit.
Sid's got a big foot.
It's huge. You know what they say. Teeth and spit and blood flew out of the orc's mouth. The bouncers came over to try to stop the fight, but as soon as they approached, Sid just slowly turned and looked at them. They stopped dead in their tracks. Ring, ring, said one of the bouncers, pretending that his talking stone was ringing. He put it up to his ear hole. Yeah, sure, honey. I'll be home right away. Grab some milk? Yeah, sure. Don't get murdered by Sid? You got it, babe. Then he hung up and ran out the door. Sid grabbed the orc assailant by his eyelids and dragged him into the men's room. Inside were a bunch of drunken dwarves.
Out, midgets! Sid snaps.
Oh.
They all staggered out of the piss palace. Sid laid the orc down on the stall floor, unzipped his pants, and put his peener on the toilet seat.
So you want to fuck my wife, huh? Sid said.
Yes, the orc replied like a stupid idiot. Just then, Sid slammed the toilet seat down on his dong. The orc wailed in pain. Sid repeatedly assaulted the orc's dork until he passed out from the sheer pain, but it was okay because he had a pretty girthy wiener tube.
I like that Sid handled another man's penis.
Dude, you gotta do what you gotta do. Dude say he wanted to fuck his wife. I mean,
gotta get your revenge.
Yeah, back on his wiener. He was thinking with his wiener, so he beat his wiener up.
Sometimes you gotta beat a wiener up.
You gotta touch a wiener to beat a wiener. That's what I always say.
Ain't that the truth?
Sid walked out of the wiener closet, proud he had defended his wife's honor all the fuck over that orc's donger. He sat back down in his seat. Just as soon as he did, he felt another tap on his shoulder. He turned around slowly, anticipating another fight in which he would have to disfigure a guy's pants unicorn. But when he turned around, he saw a scrawny little old man wearing some kind of robe made out of sticks and leaves and all kinds of nature shit. Nice leaf dress, guy. Man, I'm on fire today. Sid the Rogue, the old man responded. Your brother, he is in trouble.
Oh my god, Sid's got a brother?
Oh shit.
Sid's got a mom and a brother.
He's got a family, apparently. Then the man freebased some crystallized wizard weed out of a petrified mushroom stalk, waved his hands in front of Sid's face, and an image of a very large troll being held captive magically appeared. My brother! Kid the crazed! Yes! He needs his older brother. He is in grave danger. Take me to him, cross-dressing hermit! Okay, but we're going to need to pass through the bone fields. No. I'm totally cool with that, Sid replied. Cool. Hey, did you crush that orc's dick in the toilet seat earlier? Yeah, man. Wow, that's pretty insane. Yeah, I have anger issues. Soon the two were entering the bone fields.
Cut to the bone fields.
A garden of sorts where Daranos kept all the spooky remains of everyone who ever was executed in the realm. Ooh. All around lay dead skeletons of warriors, wizards, evil pets, gnomes, trolls, annoying parrots that pirates grew to hate, and Mittens, the evil cat lord dictator who killed literally millions.
Whoa!
He's there, man. His bones.
He's a big lore in this episode.
I know, it's heavy. We had a week off. I'm back.
We're back. More as in Data's twin brother, Kid the Craze.
Kid the Craze.
Anyway, go on. This is your story.
No, that's better than this. Let's just talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, I got some fantasy fic.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. The old man and Sid crept carefully through the hollowed ground, careful not to disturb any spirits. We have to be quiet as to not disturb the spirits, the old man said. Hey, where are the white women at? What are you doing, you crazy old sack of ball jizz? Sid yelled. Sid whisper yelled. That is the ancient incantation used to gain access to the execution chamber. And also, the ancient sacred incantation used to gain access to some sweet white booty, or woody, if you will. Suddenly, the ground opened up and blue fire shot a million feet in the air.
Damn!
As the fire died down, a Skelemancer sat at a podium. Are you here for the show, gentlemen? Oh, I'm sorry, miss, I didn't see you there, said the Skelemancer, looking at the old man. We would like 2 tickets to the execution, please, said the old man. Ah, yes, very good. Today we have a special for senior citizens. Are you over 870, ma'am? Questioned the Skelemancer. The old man looked at Sid. Yes, I am over 4 ages old. I am the protector of the sacred arts of shamanistic power and the heir to the 8th level of the Order of the Inner Mind.
Whoa. Is this guy serious?
He's serious, super serious. Calm down, ma'am. Simple yes or no will suffice, the Skelemancer said, as his little bony hands ripped 2 tickets out of his magical podium. How much? Your total comes to a very reasonable fee of the cost of your sanity! The Skelemancer cackled, and blue flames shot 2 million feet up in the air, again engulfing him back into the pits of demonic heck.
Oh my god.
That may come back to bite us in the ass. As they entered the execution arena, they saw Sid's brother Kid chained to a stone column. All around were Skelemancers and ghosts and wizards and guys selling execution dogs and kids because it was Kid's night.
Kid's night.
At the executions, dude.
What ton of execution dog?
Execution dog? Pain.
Pain.
Suffering.
A.K.A. all the sauces at once.
Oh my god. Even mayonnaise on a hot dog?
You butter believe
me. A stick of butter.
It's on there.
Oh my god. I kind of want that.
A little bit. How about a buttered roll? That's what we'll say. We'll get you the recipe later, folks.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Anyway. Sid and the old man quickly hurried over to the pillar to the boos of the many thousands awaiting the execution. Sid slowly turned and looked at them. Many of them pulled out their talking stones. Ring, ring. yeah, honey, I'll be home soon. Grab some milk? Sure. Don't get mean mugged by this hard-as-tits rogue? Sure. Then most of them left the arena.
Oh. They paid quite the price to get in there.
Dude, you get mean mugged by Sid, you're out.
You're like, you know what, I better just be insane right now.
Kid, Sid said, exasperated. What are you doing here? How did you get yourself into this mess? Sid, Kid said in a daze. What are you doing here? We're here to rescue you, the old man interjected. No. Yes, Kid. Come on, we have to go. I have to save you. No, you don't understand, Kid replied. This isn't an execution. It's a sexecution.
No!
Just then.
No, the most feared.
Just then, fireworks started going all the fuck off, and Motley Crue started pumping through the arena. You know which song. The one you secretly like, but don't tell your friends.
The one that strippers strip to.
That's the one.
No!
Those patrons who remained cheered. A line of 700 bone-hungry, filthy wenches marched out of the east gates of the arena, each one wearing nothing but a black hood and the greasy boob sacks her mama gave her.
Damn!
Kid, this is
really hot.
Kid, this is crazy. No, Sid, I asked for this. Look at those wenches, man. They're ready to bone me into an early grave. And let's face it, I'm not meant for this world. You have Ugla and a life now, and all I have is the next 2 to 3 minutes of hard pumping that will surely be the end of my short but extremely sexy life. The sexecutionists marched over and started grinding against Kid. The sexecution had begun. Two of the sexecutioners started 169 in Kid. That's when you regular 69, and another person stands there and watches.
169! Not doing anything.
Just like with your hand on your hips, just watching, nodding. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just taking it in.
Yeah, like,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
It's a show.
Maybe I'll masturbate to it.
Maybe I'll store this up for later. Yeah. Sid became enraged. No, I can't let this happen. He double jump kicked four of the executioners for 16 times the pain.
Whoa.
Several of them fell over dead and naked as all hell.
Oh my god.
He grabbed his daggers and started cutting his way through the twerking, writhing horde of bitch meat to get to his brother.
Whoa, he's killing a bunch of women right now?
Yeah, man. Well, they're sexecutioners.
Oh, okay, yes.
They're evil.
Okay, they're evil. They're evil.
Women can be evil.
It's true.
It's canon.
It's canon.
Women can be evil. It's canon. Oh, that's stupid. Oh, right. As Sid reached him, the executioners had already done their job efficiently and cleanly, save for all the jizz. No! Sid yelled. Old man, you must save him. That is beyond my power. Oh, wait, is he dead? Oh, yeah, I can totally fix that. But it will come at a price. You must give up a part of yourself, and he will never remember that you are his brother. I will do anything to kick that son of a bitch death in the fucking dick. Give me your dagger hand, the old man demanded. Taking the dagger, he cut off two of Sid's fingers and then said some magical shaman incantation. Someday, love will find you. Break those chains that bind you. One night will remind you. If he ever hurts you, true love won't desert you. Though we touched, we went our separate ways. Suddenly, Kid awoke. He was alive. Sid hugged him, but Kid didn't seem to know who Sid was at all. I told you he wouldn't remember you. At least he lives. The crowd began to leave. Kid was set free and was totally free to live his life. As he walked out of the execution arena, the Skelemancer again appeared at the front gates. Kid turned around again to look back at Sid. For a moment, he thought he recognized him. You know that rogue? The Skelemancer asked. No, he seems familiar, Kid replied. The two stood there for a second. Nah, bro, I think he's your brother, and that old lady is like your mom or something, the Skelemancer finally said, ruining the ending. Finn.
Oh my god, that was a great story, Josh.
Thank you.
Oh my god, poor Sid and his poor brother.
What's worse, dying or having to live through knowing that your brother won't remember you? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
Maybe you'll find out next week. All right, Josh. Are you ready for my tale of shamans and executions?
I'm fucking ready.
All right, this tale is called Shaman Time.
Just Shaman Time?
All right. Just Shaman Time.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a night just like tonight in Orkspire. The shops had closed, the taverns had opened, and the druids finished making out with the trees and went to bed. Except for Horny Paul Talonfeather. Moondogs will be moondogs.
That old saying.
That old Daranosian
saying. That's canon.
Not too far from the making out, a cave lit up with flashes of light, green and purple. Something was going on inside. Something shaman-y. Lightning struck the cave, and you could totally tell that whoever was inside had pretty much absorbed all the powers. Oh, yeah. This guy is so cool, and you like him. Then, out of the darkness...
I don't know, Dom. I like this guy.
Something tells me.
I like him.
Then, out of the darkness, walked the hottest goddang orc shaman you could ever dream of. Danarok Thunderbuns. His skin was pale blue. On his dome piece, he donned the furs of a direwolf. Yeah, y'all ready for this? I know what you're thinking. And you're like, man, orcs can't be hot. But then you'd see Danny Thunderbuns and you'd get a bone so hard it'd rocket off into space and would burn up while exiting the atmosphere and sprinkle man hot dog dust into the universe. Also, your pants would be ruined.
Dude, that's all. That's how I want to go. I just want to be my man hot dog dust sprinkled into the universe.
I want it as it's shooting out to be like... Anyway. I love listening to the elements, said the shaman to himself. Mm-hmm. The wind, the rain, even the element of surprise at a birthday party when everyone yells surprise and kind of scares but also makes their friend really happy at the same time. But I just wish I could find a fair maiden to spend some time with and listen to, he said as he sighed. That's right, ladies. If you can even imagine it, hot ass, listening ass, Danarok Thunderbuns was a lonely orc, and all he wanted to do is care and love and order some wizard pizza for you as a surprise.
I do like him.
Yeah, I thought so.
I wish I was a person he wanted to spend time with.
You know what? He'd probably spend some time with you.
Oh, you think? Yeah. I don't have a chance.
Anyway, you know, continued Thunderbuns to himself, with all this elemental summoning, my hands have gotten pretty strong, but not too strong. They're still fairly soft at the touch, but just tough enough to give a good back rub. Man, I wish I could give a fair maiden a back rub while she tells me about her day. Right about now, you're like, dang, I wish I could smooch on this dude.
Right?
Well, guess what? He also had a little bit of scruff like Ryan Gosling.
Aww.
And his voice was deep and smooth, so you know when he started singing, it'd probably be real good. And he drove a bone motorcycle. A boner cycle, if you will.
Fantastic.
I did it, Mom. I did it!
Show over. That's it. We peaked. We peaked, ladies and gentlemen.
We're done. Danarok was a good orc, and all of his married friends, or friends with long-term significant others, thought so.
Mm-hmm.
Especially you, the listener, when you heard that in his spare time, he picks up sick baby animals and helps them feel better.
Oh my
he
God.
Loved nature, and he wanted to love a fair maiden just as well. But he just couldn't find the right one for him.
Oh, man.
Having enough of his moping, Danarok sat down and began painting a picture of a tree. Then a bat beast flew into the cave. Sup, homie, said Super Fangs the bat beast with lightning wings. Just painting a picture of a tree I like, replied Danarok. Damn, even when he says simple shit, you want to give him a kiss? Oh, that's cool, replied Super Fangs. For nerds?
Whoa.
Come on, man. It's high time you got yourself out of your shaman cave and into some woman cave.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to woman, but when you think about it, it's kind of a cave for penises. Yeah, I guess you're right. About the dick cave thing? Yeah, I guess that too. It's just, I don't know. It feels like it'll never happen, you know? Well, it'll definitely never happen sitting inside, said the bat beast as he pushed his cool guy sunglasses up his bat nose. It's 7-for-2 at Clankers tonight. That's 7 beers for 2 gold coins. It's a steal, and they'll probably have to go out of business afterwards. I don't know why they're doing it, but there'll be plenty of people there. Danarok thought about it for a moment, then relented. Okay, he said. Let me grab my cloak. Oh, stalled Super Fangs. I kind of just meant for you to get out. I already have a date that I'm late for, and there's going to be lots of sex, so I have to go do that. And the date is kind of happening right here in this cave, so you got to leave. Danarok headed east to Clankers, an all-around crappy loud bar with loud people in it. The shaman, a little nervous going to a bar he didn't want to be at alone, pushed the door open. An orc at the bar turned around, threw his beer on the ground, and pointed to Danarok and yelled, Hey, you can't come in here. You're too beautiful.
I've been to bars like that.
I just imagine that happening to you. All of the ugly orcs laughed and drank beer and spilled beer as they laughed while drinking it and were having a great time.
This place sounds pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you can have a good time if you want to.
7-for-2? That is a steal.
That's a goddamn steal. The shaman found an uncomfortable spot at the bar and ordered a drink, then scanned the room. There she was, the one maiden so fair. Danarok had a crush on her.
Oh.
Shelby Woo.
Shelby Woo. All right.
And a man was she wooing that evening. Woo! She shouted as she did a shot of the bar's most evil liquor, Hitler gin.
Oh my god. Oh, I want some. I mean, I don't want some.
No, you don't. A bunch of buff orcs with scars and eye patches and other tough stuff cheered. Suddenly, out of some nasty ass corner of the bar that was probably wet because he was definitely dripping with some sewer scum, crawled Stinkline the Goblin.
Oh my god.
He hobbled his way over to Shelby. Way to drink that shot, Shelby, said Stinkline. I was watching from the safety of the darkness. You're a total Baytown, USA. Population Shelby. And I've been meaning to take a visit to that town, if you know what I mean, said the goblin with a wink. And I mean I want to smooch a dem lips.
Stickline, you kind of have moves.
Stickline, you could CGI. Could get it.
Could get it.
Buzz off, nerd, shouted Shelby. Hubba hubba. What's a goblin gotta do to get some of that sass right here? He said as he closed his eyes and prepared for a kiss. Suddenly, the tough and buff orc seized the gross goblin by his cloak and lifted him into the air. Then, they all stabbed him like 69 times with their blades, then dropped him into a puddle of his own blood.
Oh my god.
Barely conscious, Stinkline lifted his head and said, I will live. But it will be painful. And with that, he fainted. Then, someone broke a bar stool over his back.
He's just laying there fucking dying. And someone just takes a stool and just fucking hits him with it.
Just ran this unconscious, bleeding man. Well, goblin.
Yeah, I've been to bars like this.
What did you want to say about Stinkline?
I'm just glad he's going to survive again.
Yeah, well, he'll be back.
I'm glad. He'll be back. Yeah, I couldn't live without Stinkline.
Neither could I. Hard in his throat, the shaman approached Shelby. Hey, Shelby, how are you? Oh, Danarok, she replied. I'm fine, how are you? I'm great, said Danarok just a little too loudly. Mm-hmm. Haha, that's funny. You're so funny, she said. Hey, said the shaman, you want to do something sometime? Oh, I'd love to, said Shelby, but I'm sorry. Suddenly, the lights got dark, and time seemed to slow down a bit, as Shelby appeared to grow 10 feet tall, as she turned around and said, I already have a boyfriend!
Oh.
No! Shouted Thunderbuns. Hey, yelled one of the tough and buff orcs. Somebody's trying to kiss Clark's girlfriend.
What?
Get him, we like Clark, yelled another. And the ugh-ass orc seized him. Suspended by his cloak, the shaman slowly spun in a circle and got a good look at every one of the orc's cut-up and deformed faces, including one guy who had 3 eye patches, 1 eye patch on each eye, and 1 on his crotch. I haven't forgotten about how your hot body turned my fish bait into man hot dog dust, he said.
Fish bait. Fucking fish bait.
He came back. Everybody punch his bones, yelled an orc, and the crew began to tenderize his body. Get away from him, yelled a lady's voice. The orc stopped abruptly and turned to look who would shout such a command. It was a short wood elf, possibly a warrior. What are you gonna do about it? Said the orc with 3 eye patches, and immediately she kicked him right in the balls. I still have my balls, he breathed as the severed orc fainted.
Like, I had to tell everybody, because people, if they would have seen that, they'd be like, why does that hurt you? It shouldn't. But he's like, yeah, that's why it hurt me.
Hey, said an orc, we kind of like Francis. Get her! And the tough and buff orcs tried to seize the elf as well, but man, shit was like Space Matrix.
Space tricks.
Except when she kicked or punched a guy, 3 out of 4 times a goddamn limb would fly off.
Oh my god.
Danarok joined in on the fighting, and after a few minutes, the bar had cleared out, and the tough and buff orcs were K the fuck owed. Danarok turned to the elf and said, you're incredible, but what's your name? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's better you not know me, she replied. Surely, he began, you would not decline a reward. A dinner, perhaps? I can't, spoke the elf.
No.
We can never be together because I'm a werebear. No, I'm totally cool with that. I like nature. It doesn't matter, she yelled through her tears as she ran off into the woods. No, shouted the shaman, running off into a different direction. The end.
What?
Dude, we want them to get together. They are so lonely. They're good. They're good people.
They're good together. They fought. They went through a trial together.
Oh my god. The Thunderbuns, what have you gotten yourself into?
Come on.
You handsome ass orc.
I gotta wait another ding dang week, or possibly more, to find out what happens.
Yeah, it's something I'll come back to.
Or never? You know how long never is, Doc?
It's 6-7 years?
that is never. That's pretty...
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A long time. That's a great story.
Thanks, man.
I love that story. That was very good.
Thanks. And while you mention it, I should bring up that my Dark Knight story will resume...
Yeah.
Soon. Not next episode, maybe not the next one after that, but soon.
We gotta keep them in suspense a little bit.
Let's dangle the carrot, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you just haven't really thought of what happens.
Yeah, or maybe you forgot about it, which you should go back and listen to them all again.
Yeah, that's the ticket. And send us money.
And gold.
Gold pieces and wands and swords.
Yes, and some...
Give us weapons! Thanks again, everyone, for listening to another episode. And it's good to be back. I think the break really served us both really well. I think we had a great time today.
We were both on beaches sipping out of coconuts.
Ooh, yeah.
I was on the beaches of Connecticut, the tropical beaches of Connecticut.
I was sitting in traffic in Los Angeles, being mad. What are you doing? Why can't you just drive? You can't drive in the middle of lanes. You can't.
No,
they don't do that.
They don't care. God.
But that's what I was doing. Buff Cat shirts are back in stock for the time being. We were going to order other shirts, but then we got a message that said we needed permission from Yale to print them. So we will try to find another way to get them to you guys. But for now, we have Wizard Yale buttons in the store, not shirts. But...
I know the Dean of Yale listens to this show. I know that for a fact.
Give us this, Give us permission.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck you. I'm just going to go get the shirts printed somewhere else.
Yeah, fuck
you. It's parody, goddammit.
Yeah, it's true. Free. It's a free use. Fair use.
Yeah, fair use. Parody. Bitch. Take me to court. You'll win because I don't have money to spend on a lawyer. Because
you're fucking Yale.
Because you're fucking Yale. You can check out our store at fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you check out our Facebook page, there's a link there as well. Mm-hmm. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for leaving iTunes reviews and using Audible referrals and buying stuff from the store. It really helps out the show. But we got a review here that you wanted to read, right, Josh?
Yes, this is a really nice review. It's titled More Like Fantasy Fiction, or Fantastic Fiction, sorry. It's by...
You blew it already.
I fucked it. I can't read. I don't... You know, the 31 episodes, I haven't written a single thing. I just make it up as I go.
Hey, Josh, you're pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
You should take the show on the road.
Anyway, it's by Wash Away the Week. They say, been having some tough times recently, and this podcast was one of the only things that could put a big, goofy smile on my face. Anyone looking to turn off their brain and just laugh for a bit, definitely give Dom and Josh a try. I thought that was a really nice review.
That is really, really nice because I can think back to times in my life where I wasn't feeling good at all. And then I would watch something and feel a lot better. And you know what that thing was for me?
What?
Wet Hot American Summer for a long time.
Really?
I haven't seen it in a long time. Yeah, that's the movie that would cheer me up.
Indiana Jones always cheers me up.
No, that's nice. And it's kind of amazing to hear someone say that about our show. It's incredibly humbling to hear that. So thank you so much.
It's awesome.
By the way, through shipping out all of these packages, I discovered we have a lot of fans, a lot in terms of anything I've ever done in my life. We have a lot of fans in Australia.
Good day, mate.
I sent like 4 packages to Australia, and you've offended them all just now.
Am I doing a good Australian accent like this? Or is this more like New Zealand?
You know what? It's good enough for me, Josh.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome. But next week, our prompts will be...
Yeah.
Witches. Which was submitted by @TheSlinkyGod on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And Jailbreaks.
Fuck yeah.
By Spuds McGee on Facebook.
Spuds McGee.
So that will be an adventure.
I'm looking forward to that one. That one sounds a lot of fun.
there's going to be a lot of punching in mine.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Your story better have a lot of kicking, is all I'm saying.
That's just balance it out, yeah. Yeah. Before we go, Dom and I just wanted to say get well soon to Faith Burney. We hope that you have a speedy recovery and you feel better. And we're glad that you listen to the show and it helps you. So get well soon, please.
And on that, ladies and gentlemen, Josh, what do we gotta say? We haven't said it in a week.
Oh, I don't know if I remember. Just kidding, I totally fucking remember. Keep on wizarding!
Keep on wizarding! Come on to my house, baby. Open the door, you're gonna see me in a robe. I'm making breakfast, it's 7 o'clock at night. Yeah, I'm eccentric.
Beautiful.
Did I say electric or centric? Eccentric.
I think you said eccentric.
Well, that's what I meant, but electric is real funny. Keep on wizarding, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.